Have a blessing, everyone, and welcome to all our dear brethren that are in the room. For those that will be listening later on recording, have a blessing, everyone. On this Sabbath, July 27, 2024, this is our review of our chapter 80, entitled In Joseph's Tomb, part 7 of our lesson 413. I apologize, dear ones. Welcome, dear brother Tony, and let us continue. We are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with a tiny thought theme song. It's a hymn entitled Tell Me the Old, Old Story. You can find it in number 196.
In the New Church Hymnal, or in your app, if you happen to have that app. Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply, as to a little child. For I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story softly, with earnest tones and grave. Remember I'm the sinner whom Jesus came to save. Tell me the story always, if you would really be in any time of trouble a comforter to me. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the same old story when you have cause to fear that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. Yes, and when this world's glory is dawning on my soul, tell me the old, old story, Christ Jesus maketh thee whole. Tell me the old, old story, tell me the old, old story, tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. We are going to ask any one of the little tiny talk by the help of their parents or elder sibling to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Jesus took the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thy labor and do all thy work, on the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Please take the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall they labor and do all their work. Seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Please take everybody who's in the Sabbath and not in the Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We are going to hand the mic to any one of the little ones by the help of their parents to share the testimony of how they have been a blessing in their household, to their parents, and also to families or even friends. May you unmute your mic, dear ones.
I ask the Lord every day to help me be a blessing somewhere to somebody. And yesterday, I think I stumbled onto a dryer full of clothes that needed to be folded at the last thing, and it was before sundown. So I folded them, and I got a blessing. David came along and said, well, bless you. I forgot about the clothes. So I was a blessing to him. Go ahead, Sharisha.
Amen. We can all be little blessings, and praise God for you being moved to be able to do that, Brother Nick. For this week's Mommy's and Daddy's Little Blessing, I'd like to highlight Haley and Emma again. I've recently started reading the book Child Guidance, to be reminded of ways and how to parent without, you know, being flustered and, you know, so on and so forth. And by trying some of the things that was listed in the book, in the ways that in the interaction has been going, and implementing them with Haley and Emma, by the grace of God, you can see some results in the things that they're doing by setting up a routine, and by consistent in sticking with the routine, getting up in the morning. The first thing you do is say your morning prayers, giving God thanks before waking you up to see another day, making sure that you brush your teeth, you spread the bed that you get out of, just being on task. And it has been a blessing because each day that they do it, it becomes more and more a habit, and helping them to kind of get this into this proper habit of doing these things consistently. And so praise the Lord for that, with the book, and just taking the time out to being able to go over those things, and also for the children, for the Lord giving the children a spirit to be able to follow these things. And I pray that he continue to give me the wisdom, give me the time to continue to read, you know, as for parents, for mommies and daddies, sometimes we get so busy, we get so caught up in everything else that's going on around the house, and trying to keep everything in order, that we don't have that time to really to sit and to tap into what the Lord wants us to do with these little gems that he gives to us. And so praise the Lord for that time alone with him to be rejuvenated in that way, and for implementing these things so that the little ones could continue to be a blessing, not just in their homes, but to every where that they go. May they continue to shine their little lights by the Lord's love and mercy.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Indeed, dear sister. Is there anyone of the dear family that would like to be able to share? If there's no little one in the house, they can be able to share anything that they have been doing this week or even in their life by God's grace, if you would like to share. We are going to continue. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. It is story time, little ones, for the review of our last week, part 3, and it's the final part of our chapter 19 entitled Judas, and I'm going to pass it to our dear brother to share.
The Bible verses for our lessons are taken from the book Matthew chapter 27. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It's not lawful to put this into the treasury because it was the price of blood." Isn't that something? And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field is called the field of blood unto this day, at least during the writing of this gospel. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value." Next slide, please. Later that same day on the road from Pilate's judgment hall to Calvary, the wicked throng were leading the Savior to the place of crucifixion. You know, it's interesting. A wicked throng in Jerusalem. You'd think everybody in Jerusalem would have known Jesus and would have thought a little higher of him than this. Suddenly there came an interruption in their shouts and jeers. As they passed a retired spot, they saw at the foot of a lifeless tree the dead body of Judas. It was a revolting sight. His weight had broken the cord by which he had hanged himself to the tree. In falling, his body had been horribly mangled, and the dogs were now devouring it. His remains were immediately buried out of sight, but there was less mockery, and many a pale face revealed the fearful thoughts within. Retribution seemed already to be visiting those who were guilty of the blood of Jesus. Judas did not, however, believe that Christ would permit himself to be arrested. In betraying him, it was his purpose to teach him a lesson. Can you imagine teaching the teacher a lesson? He intended to play a part that would make the Savior careful henceforth, that means from now on, to treat him with due respect. But Judas knew not that he was giving Christ up to death. How often, as the Savior taught in parables, the scribes and Pharisees had been carried away with his striking illustrations. How often they had pronounced judgment against themselves. Often when the truth was brought home to their hearts, they had been filled with rage and had taken up stones to cast at him. But time and again he had made his escape. Since he had escaped so many snares, thought Judas, he certainly would not allow himself to be taken this time. That's from Desire of Ages, page 720. I guess it's back to Rose.
No, dear brother, by God's grace, you have the review question. But next Sabbath, we will continue with a new chapter, chapter 20, entitled Before Pilate, in our Tiny Thought lesson book, The Story About Jesus, and that will be August 3rd, 2024. And now I'm going to hand it back to our dear brother.
Oh, all right. Review. Where did the wicked throng, the crowd, lead the Savior?
To answer to the to answer two is
the answer to number one is
the answer to number one is to the place of
crucifixion.
Crucifixion.
That means that's where they put cross Christ on the cross to die, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's to the place that they're taking.
Very good. Where did they find, what did they find at the foot of a lifeless tree on the way?
They found the dead body of Judas.
They found the dead body of Judas. I guess Providence designed that he should hang himself next to the very road that Jesus was led on to Calvary. Try to make people think. What happened to Judas' remains, his dead body?
The answer to number 3 was, it was immediately buried out of sight.
Yep, they didn't want to, they didn't want that to stay there and be revolting, caused people to wonder, more people to wonder what was going on and whether they were doing, what they were doing was right or not. They buried it out of sight. All right, thank you. And back to Rose.
Praise the Lord. Good job, little one. It is time for the Tiny Tots and parents to review their nature walk and also the lessons of our topic, Mamas of the Bible Review, and our dear brother will be the one to share.
We can't hear a thing, Joshua.
Can I be heard now?
Now we can. Go ahead.
Our Bible verse or lesson review is taken from the book, lesson number 3, The Good Shepherd, John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that entereth not by the door in the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. Looking to me, lesson 3, domestic sheep, memory verse, Revelation 7:17, King James Version. For the lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. They'll lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Character quality of the story is care versus indifference. Care is that an interest or concern about another person as Christ cares about me, or about all of us. Nature, mammal of the Bible, domestic sheep. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they faded and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew 9:36. The sheepfold. Jesus is the good shepherd. The sheepfold is a place of safety for sheep or people. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. John 10:1-5. The sheep know that Jesus, the shepherd, cares about them. In Psalms 119:176 says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servants, for I do not forget thy commandments. Remarkable paraphrase. The shepherd's life of diligence and caretaking and his tender compassion for the helpless creatures entrusted to his charge have been employed by the inspired writers to illustrate some of the most precious truths of the gospel. Christ in his relation to his people is compared to a shepherd. After the fall, he saw his sheep doomed to perish in the dark ways of sin. To save these wandering ones, he left the honors and glories of his father's house. He said, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. I will save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. Neither shall the beasts of the land devour them. Ezekiel 34:16-22-28. His voice is heard calling them to his fold. A shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and rain. Isaiah 4:6. His care for the flock is unwearying. He strengthens the weak, relieves the suffering, gathers the lambs in his heart, and carries them in his bosom. His deep love. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of Christ. John 10:5. Christ says, the good shepherd gives his life for the shepherd, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is an hireling who cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, honor and know my sheep, and known of mine. Verses 11-14. Christ, the sheep shepherd, has entrusted the care of his flock to his master as under shepherd. He bids them have the same interest that he has manifested to feel the same responsibility of the charge he has entrusted them. He that saw only commanded them to be faithful, to feed the flock, to strengthen the weak, to revive the fainting, and to shield them from devouring wolves. To save his sheep, Christ laid down his own life. He points his shepherd to the love thus manifested as their example. But he that is an hireling, whose own the sheep are not, has no real interest in the flock. He is laboring merely for gain, and he cares only for himself. He studies his own profit instead of the interest of his charge, and in time of peril or danger, he will flee and leave the flock. Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 190-191. Here's what we can learn from our nature walk experience, dear ones. Let's use our listening ears, little ones. You hear in this lesson about landscaping the grave. Our characters must be graded to prepare the way of the Lord. Every valley, it shall be exalted. Our weak points must be built up. And every mountain and hill shall be made low. Our pride humbled. And the crooked shall be made straight. We must line up with God's will, and the rough places plain. We must be gentle like Jesus. Isaiah 44. God searches our souls like a landscaper does the ground to see what treatment is needed. When the leveling work begins, be sure you will be tempted to complain soonest where you are most sound, and where most corruptions lie. Here you will tend to shrink most. Landscaping the trees. When you see trees around your home, be reminded of the death of Jesus. With Jesus, this death will eventually come the death of all sin. This lesson says protecting plants from cold weather. We see pictures of greenhouses and a cool box. I mean, not cool, a cold tray. It says on the right, gardening can be done indoor or outdoor. In areas with a short growing season, cold frames and greenhouses can be used. Sunlit windows are needed with much direct sunlight, depending on the type of plant. Artificial light can be used, but God's natural sunlight is always best. It seemed the sun had quit shining for Jesus' disciples after his death. Protecting plants is like Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus protecting the body of Jesus by giving it a proper burial. And the third question is gardening for health. God planned to teach man the 8 natural laws of health while working in the garden. And these are all of them with the pictures below. Trust in God, pure air, proper diet, sunshine, water, exercise, rest, and temperance. Here says grasp natural remedies. There's pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness, which is another name for temperance, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power. These are the true remedies. Every person should have a knowledge of nature's remedial agencies and how to apply them. Mystery of Healing, pages 127, paragraph 2, margin. Think of these ways the garden can improve your health and list them by the 8 natural remedies for health. And below this is a picture of this gardener, gardening on a sunny day. The 8 laws of health are listed. 1, proper diet. 2, rest. 3, pure air. 4, trust in divine power. 5, abstemiousness. 6, sunlight. 7, exercise. And 8, water. No matter where you rate them, it'll always be the 8 laws of health. And on the bottom right says the benefits of gardening. 1, it gives exercise. 2, gives spiritual lessons. 3, it brings food for the table. 4, it brings beauty. And 5, it involves education. You might have heard the saying, cool with a cucumber there, and on a hot day in the field, the cuke runs about 20 degrees cooler inside than the surrounding air. In a pitcher of ice, herb tea dropped in little 1-inch squares of cucumbers. It will give the tea a delicate coolness you would never believe until you taste it. John was as cool as a cucumber while Peter denied it was. This, you can try this old Bible recipe for a cucumber sauce. If you have any of these ingredients, all you need is 1 large cucumber, 1 clove garlic crushed, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 cup of plain vegan yogurt, 48 ounces of it, and 1 tablespoon of dried mint. And peel and slice the cucumber, stir the garlic and salt into the yogurt, and fold in the cucumber and mint. Serve cold in small bowls. Never tried that before, but it's bound to be tasty. Want to try it. And on the right are a list of 3 pictures. The question is below the title says, what 3 Bible stories are about faith? In number 1, you see Adam and Eve covering themselves with fig leaves, the story of the first fall. Number 2 is the parable of the time when Jesus found a fig tree having nothing but have only leaves but no figs on it whatsoever. And three is the story of Isaiah and King Hezekiah. When Hezekiah got sick, the Lord first told Isaiah the best way to heal him was just make it less than out of fig leaves. You find all three stories in the Bible and through other types of books if you may. And below it says the instructions to read early writing pages 19 to 20, which without a doubt talks more about fig trees. And the next button says figs are mentioned in the Bible when Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. Genesis 3:7. They had fig trees in their garden home. The fig was so important that each man desired to have his own fig tree, as described in 1 Kings 4:25. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree. Fig trees may live an exceptionally long time, as long as 400 years. Pretty long time, it made it. Anyway, they reached a very large size, having a beautiful thick trunk and smooth bark. The fruit is pear-like and very delicious to eat. The flower is in the center of the fruit. Usually a small hole is found at the farthest end of the stalk, and a burrowing insect, the thick wasp, can enter into the fruit. The fruit never gets properly until the creature does its fertilizing work. The gritty seeds are really the true fruits. The outer part is the receptacle that holds these tiny seed-like fruits. The combination of the flower and seeds in the fig reminds us of God's word, which is like a seed being fulfilled through faith, what looks like a flower. Figs are used as a remedy made into a poultice in 2 Kings 27. See also Isaiah 38:21. That's where the story of Isaiah and Hezekiah's illness takes place. The syrup of figs is used today as a remedy for constipation. And below this last bar there is a benefit of the figs, the fig's nutrition and the fig's leaves benefit. One, it has powerful antioxidants. Two, it's helpful for anti-cancer. Three, it fights illnesses. Four, it helps become an antibacterial and antifungal. Five, it's nutrient dense. Six, anti-diabetic. Seven, it can help treat skin cancer. And eight, it has an anti-aging effect. Continue our reference reading for the mammals of the Bible of our lesson review, taken from our lesson book, The Desire of Ages, chapter 52, The Divine Shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Desire of Ages, pages 476, paragraph 1. Again, Jesus found access to the minds of his hearers by the pathway of their familiar association. He likened the spirit temple to the cool, refreshing water. He had represented it himself as the life, the source of life, and gladness to nature and to man. Now in a beautiful pastoral picture, he represents his relation to those that believe on him. No picture was more familiar to his hearers than this. And Christ's words linked it forever with himself. Never could the disciples look on the shepherds tending their flocks without recalling the Savior's love. They would see Christ in each faithful shepherd. They would see themselves in each helpless and dependent flock. Desire of Ages, page 476, paragraph 2. This figure, the prophet Isaiah, had applied to the mission in the comforting words, O Zion that brings good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the seeds of Judah, behold your God, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. Isaiah 49:11. Continuing. David had sung, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 23:1. The Holy Spirit through Ezekiel had declared, "I will set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will straighten that which was sick, and I will make them a covenant of peace. And they shall no more be afraid of the heat, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid." Ezekiel 34:23, 16, 25, 28. Sorry, but it's page 176, paragraph 3. Christ applied these prophecies to himself, and he showed the contrast between his own character and that of leaders in Israel. The Pharisees had just driven one from the fold because he dared to bear witness to the power of Christ. They had cut off a soul when the true shepherd was drawing to himself. In this, they had shown themselves ignorant of the work committed to them, unworthy of their trust as shepherds to the flock. Jesus now set before them a contrast between them and the good shepherd. He appointed to himself as the real keeper of the Lord's flock. Before doing this, however, he speaks of himself under another thing, Desire of Ages, page 477, paragraph 1. He said, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth not some other way, the same is a thief and a robber, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The Pharisees did not discern that these words were spoken against them. When they reasoned in their hearts as to the meaning, Jesus told them plainly, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out, find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." Desirably, this page 177, paragraph 2. And here in the review are our bonus questions. You find the answer in both the reading and in the Bible. So, question 1 is, who is it that does not enter by the door into the sheepfold? The answer is in John 10:1. Question 2 is, who does enter by the door? The answer is in John 10:2. Question 3, describe how the shepherd moves his sheep. The answer is in John 10:3-5. I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother, and welcome to all the precious family that had came in. And remember, little ones, tell me the old story. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story of Jesus and his love. Our opening song is a hymn entitled "Because He Lives." You can find it also in the book of hymns in number 526. If you would like to share the hymn, dear one, you may unmute your mic to do so. God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He live and die to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the caution of we shall have faith on certain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
And life is worth the living just because he lives. And remember, little ones, when things seem to be completely overwhelming, just remember the song that you have learned, that whenever there's someone weary around, thinking and worried about what's going on, just remember that he holds the future. Welcome to all the precious little ones. I will ask the older sibling, mommies or daddies, that would like to be able to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Happy blessing with everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for just the morning. We protect the word that we're going to be learning. We protect the people that's here and the people that's not here while they can come back to the Sabbath blessing. We put the Sabbath word that we're going to be learning today. And please protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4 from the King James Version margin, and it's our scripture song. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When Christ Jesus our life shall appear, then surely both appear with him in glory. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is here with Christ in God. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is here with Christ in God. So what we have learned and ways we have grown, dear ones, before we hear all the answer to the questions, anything that you would like to hear, dear ones, we are going to take a few minutes to reread our part 7 of our lesson in Joseph's tomb in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The Desire of Ages, page 7, page 777. Continuing, they could rest a little upon the Sabbath. They would not sleep, step over again,
Gentile,
on the threshold for fear the defilement.
For fear of defilement.
Of defilement.
For fear of defilement.
For fear of defilement. Yet they held a
council
concerning the body of Christ. Death and the grave must hold him womb. They had crucified the chief.
Crucified. Period.
The crucified the chief priest and
Pharisees
came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the desire said,
The deceiver
said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. And on the side where it has all the pictures, it says the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, thy Lord.
The Lord, Sabbath of the Lord thy God.
The Sabbath of the Lord thy God.
Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 10.
Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 10. Next slide, please. Continuing, command, therefore, that the
sepulchre
be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night, and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. The least error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them,
hello. Thank you.
Dear one, forgive us. Hermano Moisés, el micrófono estaba abierto. Go ahead, dear sister.
Continuing. He is risen from the dead, so the least error shall, the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have had a watch, go out your way, make it as sure as ye can. Matthew chapter 27 verse 62. 65. The Desire of Ages, page 777, verse 3.
Paragraph.
Desire of Ages, page 778. Oops.
Directions for
securing
the
sepulchre.
A great, great, shall that one
stone
have been a
place
before the open
good. Across
is this
stone
they place
cords securing
the solid corn.
That's what an
Church.
That's what the R is. It's a little rock.
The man.
Ceiling
done with the Roman
seal.
The stone could not be most moved. Without.
Good. Breaking
the stone seal.
Seal. Good.
Next slide, please.
Good job, Jeremy. Come on, Christian. Continuing.
Bard.
of
1
good 100 soldiers. Speak out, I can't hear you.
100 soldiers.
Was then stationed
around the
supportion. Speak up, I can't hear you.
Supportion.
Good.
To
prevent
in it.
Good. Beating, hampered. I can't hear you.
Hampered.
With.
The.
Freeze. Did. Bay.
Okay.
Would.
To
keep Christ body
where it
had been laid. Good.
Was
sealed as securely
and
is tuned
as if he
were
to
remain there through
all
time.
Hi. Good.
Continuing the reading. So wheat men counseled and planned. Little did these murderers realize the uselessness of their efforts, but by their action, God was glorified. The very efforts made to prevent Christ's resurrection are the most convincing arguments in its proof. The greater the number of soldiers placed around the tomb, the stronger would be the testimony that he had risen. Continuing on the next slide, please. Continuing. Hundreds of years before the death of Christ, the Holy Spirit had declared through the psalmist, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord." And on the slide it says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" Continue on the next slide, please. Continuing. And against his anointed, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Roman guards and Roman arms were powerless to confine the Lord of life within the tomb. The hour of his release was near. The Desire of Ages, page 778, paragraph 2.
Amen. So what we have learned in ways we have grown, dear ones, we have the 6 questions that we have reserved from last Sabbath. And for those that are not able to see the screen, I will be able to read it out. If you are moved to share, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And number 6, what did you learn from this lesson? Who would like to take the first one, dear ones?
The answer for number 1 is Jesus and the gods. Britta is the answer for number 1. Who is the main character or characters?
The answer to question 2 was the main idea for this section of our story. The answer is the Pharisees were questioning Pilate to have who started the tomb. The answer to question 3, where did the story take place? Pilate's court and Jesus' sepulchre.
The section of the number 1 is the story. The story is when Jesus was crucified. I can relate to the stories by that we can relate to Jesus because Jesus is our example and our, and we always have to trust him because he is our path.
What I learned from this lesson, I learned that the leaders wanted to keep the body from being stolen, so that they thought that the Christ disciples or any of his followers would steal his body and make false reports saying that he rose from the dead. But whether it was no matter what they wanted to do to stop it from happening, no, nothing could have stopped it because Christ really was dead. But like he said before the time, and on the third day he shall rise again. And that will happen. The biggest sin, whatever they can, even the whole army, he's the guardian of all that will just bear witness, make many bear witness about his resurrection from the tomb, which was bound to come, as that was part of his goal, so to save us all from the
I would like to add, what did I learn from the lesson? Just like in the days of when this happened, and we saw that the Pharisees and the scribes and the rulers was planning things to kind of divert or to turn away people from the truth. It is the same thing that is happening today, but what I have learned is what is meant to be will be, and it is useless to have what the scripture said, to have vain imaginings and vain doings, because we exert a power, we exert a strength that we have no power to control. It is best to basically be, to read, to study thyself, to show approved, to know what is it that you're supposed to. Okay, sorry about that. It is better for us to study thyself, to show approved, and to know what the scripture said that is to be in that way that we do not become anxious or become overwhelmed by the things that we see, because we know that a thus saith the Lord is already there. Truly, what is meant to be will be. And everything else that happens outside of that, it's vain. It's nothing. It's nothing because we should rest assured that the Lord already told us and we don't have to be anxious or be worried.
Amen. One thing I learned from this lesson is that no matter what your enemies may do, no matter what plans they may have and implement, that, as our dear sister said, God is in control, and God will use all of their plans against them so that God and His truth will be greater glorified, come into the notice of more individuals. So enemies are going to plan, they're going to implement those plans, they're going to come against God's people, but God's prepared for it, and He's going to turn their apparent victory into a great defeat so that you will be delivered, their plans will be thwarted, and God will be glorified.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And on that particular slide where it tells you, I just want to go back a little bit more. Just take what is happening today. There will be secret meetings. There will be any kind of plans to be able to kind of diverse what the Lord has. But because it is written and He's the Word of God, they all became powerless. No matter how much they have secured the tomb, it even allowed God's name and the government of heaven to be even more glorified. And this was for them to also realize who really was the one that died. But whatever we have in our hearts and our mind can become a wall to what it is presenting before us. So if we take the events that is happening today, but hold on to the prophecies will tell us exactly what is happening. We don't need to go to the world to find out what's going on. It is written, the Lord said. And if we can continue to look at the events through the eyes of prophecy, then there will be no reason to worry, because everything has to go to fulfill the scripture according to it is written. And thank you so much, dear ones, for all the comments and your participation. We are going to continue with thoughts and favorite poem and also special music. Our thought is taken from the study book, The Signs of the Time, November 20, 1893, entitled The Good Shepherd, Estimate of a Lost Sheep. And that is paragraph 1 through 7. And the opening scripture is from 1 John 4:10, and it reads, "Here is love, not that we love God, but that He loves us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin." Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
The mission and work of Christ did not harmonize with the work of the Pharisees. They were full of self-conceit, and they saw that Christ did not approve of their works. He gave them no flattering words to nourish their pride. They were disappointed that Jesus, who manifested to the world so lofty a character, did not mingle with them and practice their manner of teaching. Rather than go about in so unpretending a manner, working among all classes of people, they saw among the people who listened with rapt attention those who did not belong to the Jewish nation, and who had never manifested the least interest in their teaching. Sign of the Times, November 20th, 1893, paragraph 2.
When the Pharisees expressed their discontent because of the class of people with whom he mingled, Jesus set the matter before them in the parable of the lost sheep. But their understanding was darkened, for Satan had power over their minds, and they arrayed themselves in opposition to Jesus. The Pharisees said that if Jesus were a true prophet, he would harmonize with them, and voice their precepts and maxims, and treat the wretched publicans and sinners as they treated them. In giving his son to die for the sins of the world, the Lord God made manifest what was the estimate he placed upon men. For in giving Jesus to the world, he gave heaven's best gift. For this costly sacrifice, the most profound gratitude is demanded from every soul. Whatever may be the nation, kindred, or tongue, whether a man is white or black, he still bears the image of God. And the proper study of mankind is man, viewed from the fact that he is the purchase of the blood of Christ. To show contempt for, to manifest hatred toward, any nation is to reveal the characteristic of Satan.
God has placed his estimate upon man in giving Jesus to a life of humiliation, poverty, and self-sacrifice to condemn rejection and death. In order that man and his lost sheep might be saved, it is then a remarkable thing that all heaven is interested in the ransom of man. Is it a wonderful fact that 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of angels are employed in ascending and descending on the mystic ladder to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels do not come to the earth to denounce and to destroy, to rule and to exact homage, or messengers of mercy to cooperate with the captive of the Lord's host, to cooperate with the human agent, who shall go forth to seek and save the lost sheep. Angels are commanded to encamp around about those who fear and love God. Besides the balance, November 28, 1893, paragraph 3.
The sympathy of all heaven is enlisted on behalf of the sheep that is wandering far from the fold. If the Pharisees had been working in harmony with God in place of uniting with the adversary of God and man, they would have been found despising the purchased of the blood of Christ. As the delusion of Satan are broken from human minds, as the sinner looks to Calvary and sees the costly offering that has been given to save the apostate and unruined race, he contemplates and is deeply moved by the love of God and becomes repentant. Herein is love. I think that's Here is love, and not we love God, but that he loved us. Oh, that we might comprehend the love of God, and even to a faint degree, taking compassion that has been manifested toward fallen man. How will we look and live? By beholding Christ, man becomes changed and transformed in character from glory to glory. The conflict between light and darkness entered upon. Look, poor sinner, repented by the lost sheep, after whom the shepherd is seeking. Look to the cross. The Pharisees may hold a a contempt. The very one who the Lord is anxious to save, in the poor blind man restored to the sight by the compassionate shepherd, was one who self-righteous Pharisees thought worthy only of sneers and hatred. The Signs of the Times, November 20, 1893, paragraph 4.
Jesus, the Son of the Highest, is combating the powers of Satan, who is laying every possible device whereby he may counteract the work of God. The prize for which the powers of light and darkness are contending is the soul of man. The good shepherd is seeking his sheep, and what self-denial, what hardships, what privations he endures. The under-shepherds know something of the stern conflict, but little in comparison to what is endured by the shepherd of the sheep. With what compassion, what sorrow, what persistence he seeks the lost. How few realize what desperate efforts are put forth by Satan to defeat the shepherd's purpose. When the shepherd at last finds his lost sheep, he gathers it in his arms with rejoicing and bears it back to the fold on his shoulders. And the harps of heaven are touched, and an anthem of rejoicing is sung over the ransom of the wandering and lost sheep. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The Signs of the Times, November 20, 1893, paragraph 5. Amen.
How does the contrast appear between the scowling scribes and the Pharisees and the Christ they condemn? He's misinterpreting his mission of putting upon his words the worst possible construction. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. A lost sheep never finds its way back to the fold of itself. If it is not stopped for and saved by the watchful shepherd, it wanders until it perishes. The blood representation of the Savior is this. Unless Jesus, the Good Shepherd, had come to seek and to save the wandering, we should have perished. Margin, The Signs of the Times, November 20th, 1893, paragraph 6.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear Savior. And this is the part two and final of this poem that we shared from last part six. The Wandering Sheep Restored. This is taken from Children Activity Book Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 3, pages 79 to 80, from the Sunlight Education Ministry Homeschooling of the Bible. Who would like to take the first, which is number 4 and 5? May you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Jesus, my shepherd is. 'Twas he that loved my soul. 'Twas he that washed me in his blood. 'Twas he that made me whole. 'Twas he that sought the lost and that found the wandering sheep. 'Tis he that still doth keep.
No more a wandering sheep, I love to be controlled. I love my tender shepherd's voice. I love the peaceful fold. No more a wayward child, I seek no more to roam. I love my heavenly Father's voice. I love his home. Amen.
But every soul is as fully known to Jesus as if he were the only one for whom the Savior died. The distress of everyone teaches, touches his heart. As the cry for aid reaches his ear, he came to draw men unto himself.
He bids them follow me, and his spirit moves upon their hearts to draw them to come to him. Many refuse to be drawn. Jesus knows who they are. He also knows who gladly hear his call and are ready to come under his pastoral care. The Desire of Ages, page 180, paragraph 1.
Amen. The special music is taken from our lesson book, The Desire of All Nations, CD. And the scripture sing a song is the section of heaven, and it's taken from Jeremiah 31, verse 3.
I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3.
Well, dear ones, next week we will begin a new chapter also of our lesson entitled The Lord is Risen in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If anyone, the little one, mommies or daddies, or even our guests, would like to close our review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic and do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads on our knees. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We thank you, dear Lord, for this blessed Sabbath day. Thank you for the participation of the little ones. Thank you for their parents. Continue to bless and keep them. Be with us as we move on to the next section of the studies. Continue to bless us throughout this Sabbath. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings, I pray. Be with anyone that is not in the best of health or feeling any maladies today. Please be with them, strengthen them, I pray. Thank you for all your love, I pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So next Sabbath, dear ones, we are going to have our lesson 414, chapter 81, entitled The Law is Risen, and that will take place August the 3rd, 2024. Leaving this last time, our quote and also our verse, Isaiah 33:6, King James Version reads, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." And from Prophet and King 83, paragraph 1, it reads, "Here is the only safe guard for individual integrity, for the purity of the home, the well-being of society, or the stability of the nation. Amidst all life's perplexity and dangers and conflicting claims, the one safe and sure rule is to do what God says. The statutes of the Lord are right, and he that does these things shall never be moved." Taken from Psalms 19, verse 8, and also Psalms 15, verse 5. May you have a wonderful hermano, may you have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.